KSDP 830 AM, Sandpoint, Alaska, and K201DA 88.1 FM, King Cove.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. At its sense of place, Rome, we are revisiting a highly secretive collaboration that was 5 years in the making. Brian Burton, a.k.a. Danger Mouse, worked with Italian film composer Daniele Lupi, and they were inspired by their shared love of classic Italian film scores from the 1960s. The record is called Rome. Back in 2011, David Dye talked with Danger Mouse and Daniele Lupi about how they connected and their love of Italian film soundtracks and spaghetti westerns. Long before Netflix, Danger Mouse would head out to the video store in the mid-90s.
The way to hear these, you'd have to go to the really cool, hip video store and rent, you know, an old western just to hear the music, because they didn't release this stuff.
Plus, working with musicians from the good, the bad, and the ugly. For Sense of Place Rome, it's Daniele Lupi and Danger Mouse coming up on World Cafe. And what's up, party people? I'm Kaleo. Yeah, I remember that Danger Mouse record. Jack White, Nora Jones doing vocals for it. Looking forward to this encore interview with host emeritus David Dye in just a few minutes. First, here's the boss on World Cafe.
Yeah.
From NPR, it's World Cafe. Hey, I am Kaleo. Thanks for joining us for Sense of Place, Rome. A great story for you today. First originally broadcast in 2011 when David Dye spoke with Brian Burton, a.k.a. Danger Mouse, and the film producer Danielle Lupi. They worked together on a record called Rome. Take a listen to this piece.
You probably know that piece of music, the theme to the Sergio Leone Western, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, composed by Ennio Morricone, the Italian soundtrack composer whose work has been celebrated for years in many settings. His work and that of other Italian film composers from the 60s and the 70s was important for our guest today, musician-producer Brian Burton, known as Danger Mouse, who's half of both the groups Gnarls Barkley and Broken Bells, and Italian film composer Daniel Lupi, who collaborated on the album Rome, inspired by the film music they love. They also incorporated vocals from Norah Jones and the White Stripes' Jack White. To begin our conversation, I asked Danger Mouse how he and Daniel Lupi first got together.
Daniel and I both were obviously big movie buffs growing up, but he grew up in Italy, and so the films he was watching, I think, were different. The way we met personally was in 2004. I had heard his album, An Italian Story, and I had done the Gray album, and so that was the thing I think he had heard. And so we both lived in Los Angeles. We had common friends and wound up meeting and, you know, discussing old soundtracks and films and things like that. And we wound up working together a little bit on the Gnarls Barkley album I was finishing up. Daniel added some really great arrangements and things to it and really just kind of spruced it up a bit. We just had a really good communication with music and had very similar tastes in music. And I, you know, I started out, when I first started making music, it was in my dorm room trying to make soundtracks. It wasn't really any kind of DJing or hip hop or anything like that. It was just on a four track, recording instruments, trying to write songs, things like that, that were supposed to be visual kind of film soundtrack kind of things. So that was, you know, 13, 14 years ago, I guess. But, That's how I really started.
You know, I grew up with, watching Italian TV that broadcasted all those Sergio Leone and Fellini movies with those soundtracks. But I remember being really impressed by Brian's record collection, which, you know, goes from psychedelic bands to, you know, soundtracks and much, much more, but definitely the Italian soundtracks collection was outstanding.
Daniel, tell us what you found when you looked over Danger Mouse's record collection, because I think most of us, when we think of Italian film soundtracks, it doesn't really extend much beyond Ennio Morricone and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that was the interesting thing, that he really impressed me because he had not only the kind of obvious soundtracks to the Dollars trilogy, which is basically The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, Fistful of Dollars, and a few dollars more. He also had a lot, actually the majority was kind of obscure, minor work from, you know, people like Bruno Nicolai, Piero Migliani, Piero Piccioni. So things that really, I mean, to me at least, I didn't know him well by then, but they made an impression because it meant that he really looked for, you know, the most interesting experimental aspect of those scoring techniques of Italian movie music.
We're talking with Danger Mouse, Brian Burton, and Daniel Lupi about a new album they have done called Rome, based on soundtrack recordings of the 1960s. Danger Mouse, maybe let us know what it is in particular about this kind of film soundtrack work, the Italian masters, that appealed to you.
Well, I think it was the combination of both the dramatic elements that are in most, you know, film scores, but also the use of all the different instruments and styles. You know, the psychedelic guitars, the really loud, distorted, heavy guitars that were used. The drumming was amazing. That had a lot to do with kind of a funkin' and jazz kind of thing going as well. And really great melodies, really sad and really just memorable melodies. And, you know, there was the whistling. There was all kinds of things that just stood out much more so. And I guess more so than some of the films. I mean, the Sergio Leone films were great. But a lot of the other ones I would start to watch, because that, you know, this was in the mid-90s, so the way to hear these, you'd have to go to the really cool, hip video store and rent, you know, an old Western just to hear the music, because they didn't release this stuff, you know, so you'd go get these Westerns just to listen to the music, these bad quality VHSs, but that was the way you heard the music. And so little by little, if you could find them, whether it's through a reissue or something else, you would get them. But I think that was part of the appeal too, was that they were kind of difficult to find, and there was this world that, you know, it told you the composer, but it didn't tell you who the players were. There was nothing you could really sit with, like an album, so much, at least at that point. But eventually, once they started releasing more and more of that stuff and you went and did your work, you could find some of it.
Did you two have an idea what form this was going to take when you began? Did you always know you wanted to have vocals involved?
Yeah, we did. The idea was not to go back and make a retro or kitsch album or something like that that was an homage to old soundtracks or anything like that. We wouldn't have done all this just to do that. Most of those old records that we would have been referencing probably were cut in about 2 days. So
right.
We wouldn't spend 5 years doing that. It would be kind of silly. The idea was much more to take this element of music and this kind of music that we really loved and that was really influential to both of us, and use it as a backdrop, use it as a scene, as scenery in a way, almost like going on location or something like that.
Yeah, these definitely stand out as contemporary pop songs. Well, for instance, I wanted to play Two Against One, which is one of the ones that Jack White is involved in. Now, what was his involvement? Was these his lyrics, or how does it work?
Yeah, the way it worked was we did the music ahead of time. There was a few songs that I personally had lyrics and melodies, ideas for a singer on. There was multiple ones, but when we got Jack involved, I was definitely willing to not use those songs. I just wanted Jack to you know, do whatever, you know, whatever it could come up with. So when me and Daniel discussed it, we just gave him the whole album. And he, I guess what he said was that he would drive around listening to it, and whatever came to his head when he heard certain songs, he would hear lyrics, hear certain melodies, and start writing. And he'd never done it that way. And I know there was a time when we were going back and forth where he said he wasn't sure anymore if he could do it, because it just was difficult. It wasn't something he had done before. But eventually he came up with some stuff and it all happened. And while he was doing that, I was he told me which songs he was working on. So then I went ahead and picked a few more to start writing the female part for, because I had always intended to do that. So I to write the, you know, lyrics, melodies for that. So right when he finished, I ran a lot of the lyrics and melodies up for the female part by Daniel, and we kind of, that started to shape how and who we would need or want for the female part. And that's how Nora got involved. Jack was really vocal too in getting Nora involved as well. He didn't know her either, but we thought she would be great for that part.
He's an interesting choice. He's got such a almost as acidic, a very distinctive voice, and Nora is much more somebody you could see blending into a number of different styles. It was an interesting choice for Jack.
Yeah, the thing was, when I met Jack on tour, when I played him the music, I was just playing it for him to impress him. You know, this is Jack White. I'm a big fan of his, and I thought he might think I'm some hip hop guy or some, you know, DJ guy or something like that. You know, it's just people always get really the wrong impression about what I do. And so I played him this music and just trying to impress him. And I think it really worked as far as I was concerned. But I never thought for a second I'll ask him to sing on this, because, like you said, I didn't think his voice would necessarily work. And not that I felt I even had the choice to go, well, maybe I'll let him be a part of this record. You know, maybe me and Daniel can talk about it and we'll see. But it wasn't like that. And so we kept up with each other. And it wasn't till maybe another 6 or 7 months later that when it got closer and closer, I actually just sent him an email and said, you know, remember that thing I played you? Would you ever think you could sing on something like that? Would you ever consider it? And he said, yeah, sure, maybe I'll give it a shot. And, you know, he's not struggling, so if it didn't work out, we just wouldn't have used it. But at the same time, Daniel had been listening to the radio in the car and called me and said, hey, I heard this guy, and this could be really interesting. This guy's voice, it's really good, and it could be that different thing we're looking for. And it was a White Stripes song, and so it was really kind of a meant-to-be thing. And sure enough, when he sent it in, it was really odd. His demos for this sounded very odd, and me and Daniel thought to ourselves, you know, Is this too strange? But the thing was, the melodies and it was just the way it was recorded and everything, the melodies were really strong. And so we said, let's just give it a shot. And when he actually cut it, you know, in the real way, it sounded great.
Make no mistake, I don't do anything for free. I keep my enemies closer than my mirror ever gets to me. And if you think that there is shelter in this attitude, where do you feel the warmth of my gratitude? I get the feeling that it's two against one. Already fighting me, so what's another one? The mirror is a trigger and your mouth's a gun. Lucky for me, I'm not the only one.
That is Two Against One from Danger Mouse and Daniel Lupi's new Rome project. I'm getting a chance to talk with them. Daniel Lupi is a wonderful composer, film soundtrack composer, and has done a lot of work with Danger Mouse in the past. And Danger Mouse, I think most people are aware of what he's doing. Of course, the Broken Bells coming out with a new album as well. Pick one that you think worked particularly well with Norah Jones, who got involved with this as well.
You know, I think the first thing that she did, you know, we had her in the studio. The songs were written. I was a little insecure about them because it was just my vocals on the scratch, which is embarrassing. So you just wasn't sure if this was really going to work. And, you know, we had her come in, and Seasons Trees was the first song that she sang. And, you know, as soon as she started singing that song, it was instant. You know, it was perfect. It was exactly what it needed, and it's her voice sounded beautiful on that song.
Every girl gets her dreams cast into reality. Never seen to bother me. Only just recently.
That is Seasons Trees from Rome, a wonderful, evocative new album, and I thank you guys for your work, your 5 years of work on this. Obviously, you had other projects too, but just staying with this has just really been worth it. Danger Mouse, Daniel Lupi, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From 2011, it's Danger Mouse and Daniel Lupi talking about their collaborative album, Rome. It's on streaming services everywhere. Hat tip to host emeritus David Dye for his interview on that session, and our senior producer, Kimberly Junod. More Sense of Place coming up this week on Cafe. And of course, you can check out everything we have done in Italy up until this point at worldcafe.org. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. For more Sense of Place coverage, visit worldcafe.org. Sense of Place made possible with support from the Wincote Foundation. Here's Vampire Weekend.
Oh, sweet thing, Zion doesn't love you. Babylon don't love you. But you love so I could never love you in spite of everything. In the dark of this place, there's the glow of your face. There's the dust on the screen of this broken machine. And I can't help but feel that I made some mistake, but I let it go. That's
to the end of the lane and then back again. Feeling old and dumb and in the way. But I could change before the moon explodes and the sun stops shining. Dark, a little hazy in here. I might be crazy, it's a little unclear, but I can't be round. Cause I fell to the bottom and you found me there, broken and blue, and you gave me air. I can't be round. Anyway, when you're right here with me, sound nothing but the wheel. Got me back on the rails.
Talk is cheap.
Think I know what you want me to do. Just tell me again. I get a little confused, but I can't be wrong.
Can't be wrong.
Birds in the attic and junk on the stairs. I wanna be clear and I wanna be here. Gonna make me weep as alone in the rain on a numbered street. Baby, you're an engine driver. Yeah, you never fail. I can't be wrong. You got me back on the bed.
About loving all the people that you've come to hate. It's true what they say, I'm gonna do.
Is prolific. Jesse Wells, that's Horses off of the album Middle. Last year, I think he put out almost 100 songs. Pretty prolific. Worth diving deeper. There's plenty to enjoy. Stay close. We're back in a minute with more World Cafe. Welcome back. It's World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. And Michael Collins records as the band Drug Dealer, which is catchy. He's teamed up with Wise Blood again for a new song. This is called Real Thing.
You came in hot like a dream that you soon forgot. Then you left me high and dry to watch it crumble. It happened fast. Like our world had to tumble and crash. Seasons change and your love didn't last. I think I found someone who loves me. Somebody that's so proud that they found me. Someone who loves me in every way. Coming around to these new feelings.
This program was brought to you by Jim and Shirley Brown's Apartments, located in Sandpoint above Trident Seafoods and the Boat Harbor, featuring two-bedroom apartments on a month-to-month basis. For more information, call Jim Brown at 386-6050.
I used to fall in love with all those boys who maul the young cuties. But now I find I'm more inclined to keep my mind on my duties. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play for the caddy. But when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine fin and haddie, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Da 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 da. So I want to warn you, laddie, though I know you're perfectly swell, that my heart belongs to Daddy. 'Cause my daddy